listening to the only daily talk show in North America covering the world of football. This is World Football Daily.
Yes, 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 yes! It hits the back of the net! Oh my goodness me!
The world's game.
Oh, you're beautiful! What a headshot! What a head!
Our religion.
Brilliant goal! What an equalizer!
Our passion.
Go, go, USA! Oh, it's incredible! You could not write a script like this!
World Football Daily serves up the best football talk 5 days a week.
Oh! You will never, ever see a game quite like this! Unbelievable!
Yes, hello, and welcome to what is pretty much the final World Football Daily show of this season. I am Oliver, the producer, Wilson, bringing you the news and views from around the world of football for a last time. And joining me, as always, is Rafa Gonzalez. And Raf, I think you get the feeling we should sort out exactly what's going to be happening and whatever. We touched on it yesterday, and then we can finish up the show with talking some actual football, giving some predictions for the World Cup, Champions League and Euro 2016 possibly, and a bit of IKTS, and finish it on a high note, my man. How you doing, bro?
I'm living the dream, man. Yes, I guess real quick, guys, so you all know, the official word coming down from the owners would be that we are taking an extended hiatus here at World Football Daily. What that means, well, feel free to write us and we can explain further, but the business model just isn't working out for us, I guess, is really what comes down to it. There's not really anybody else left to be paid at this point. And what that means is that, you know, there's always so much that we can do for free from now on. And, you know, with that said, guys, you know, we appreciate everything that you've all done. Obviously, you guys kind of put your money where your mouth is. And supported the show through thick and thin, and I cannot tell you how much that means to us. You know, for the hundreds of people who are out there listening and downloading on a regular basis, you know, we really, really appreciate that. This is a community that we've kind of held near and dear to our hearts, Juice. At least I know I have. You know, it's always somebody or something that I can kind of go to and talk football, you know, with at any given point in the day. You know, if I felt like I needed to talk Rangers, I could, you know, bring up Rangers on Twitter or the Facebook, or, you know, send a text to somebody who is a regular emailer or something like that. That's the kind of family that you guys all become for me. You know, I can't tell you how much I've grown as a man in this position, in this job, in this little community. You know, you guys helped me through my, you know, the death of my father, really. This was a place that I went as a refuge, you know, to kind of not get away from it, but get over it. And that's not like the right words, but, you know, to get through it maybe is the better words. You know, I've always used work as a kind of an escape, but, you know, World Football Daily was definitely something that helped me kind of take my mind a little bit off of the negatives of my father passing away and kind of keep all the positives in frame. And yeah, so I mean, with that alone, you guys are literally lifesavers for me. On top of that, you know, I let me first say thank you to all those people who have been a part of the show. Obviously the listeners who've come and gone. You know, there's plenty of people who, I mean, well, literally thousands of people that have been subscribers to the show. And, you know, I literally do appreciate all you guys. And at certain points in your kind of listenership, I probably have had communications with you in one form or another. So, you know, I do appreciate every single one of you guys. I want to say thank you to Stephen Cohen and Kenny Hassan, who gave me the opportunity as an intern to kind of come into this show and spread my wings as kind of, you know, as fairy-like as that sounds, that's kind of really what happened. I was I was an intern from Arizona State, and I really, really, really wanted this job, or just really an internship at that point. It turned into a job. It was fantastic. It was great. I think Adam Seedy, the original producer of the show that kind of, you know, initially took me under his wing, all the people who kind of helped try to groom me into what I became, you know, I'd like to thank Howard, the Prince of Darkness, Nick Geber even, for certain things that he's offered the show, and there's just the history behind it, we'll say. Sure, there's plenty of skeletons in our closet, and as with any family there are, but you know, it goes so far back. I'd like to thank, obviously, Martin Rogers, Sophie Nicolau, Robert Burns, for sure, Ollie. I mean, I definitely saw Ollie as a potential just savior, basically. You know, a savior not just for our show, but as for football in general. The kind of enthusiasm he had for the game, for sport in general, for discussion of sport, it was refreshing and something that, you know, you just kind of don't see on a regular basis. You know, when you go to a lot of soccer games as media here in the United States, you look at people and there's not very many kind of people that you can really talk to about the game, and not very many people that I necessarily look at and think, well, do you know what you're talking about? Like, what did you see? Because I did not see that. Whereas every time I kind of look at Juice, or, you know, when he was out here, the questions he would ask, the way that he looked at the game was very kind of eye-opening to me. I respected his way of looking at the game. I respected his viewpoints, his perspectives. And I mean, you know, I really, no matter what happens here and from now on, I would definitely kind of keep following Juice just to see where his career takes him. He works his ass off in terms of this show and his work outside the show. You know, you guys kind of have an idea of just how much he does, but he really is somebody who's going to go places. He went to school for this sort of thing, and it's not just a job to him. It is a passion. You know, he doesn't have much life outside of work and his passion, which is football and sports. So with that said, you know, I tip my hat. I graciously thank him for all the time and effort that he put into the show, for believing in me, I guess, a little bit too, when I said, oh, dude, you can totally do this. This is all you. I really do kind of appreciate what he offered the show, what he brought the show, and I do look forward to seeing where he goes from here. And with that, you know, everyone, thank you so much for the opportunity for me, you know, to be a part of your guys' life for the past 4 years.
It's I think that's very well said, Ref. I don't know if there's too much more to add, except for a big thanks to particularly Martin and Sophie, who you know, kind of brought me in, who I started on as a pundit with you guys and stuff. And a big thanks to you, Raf, as well, when I kind of said, hey man, would it be cool if I came out and, like, you know, for to get some experience and stuff, came and did some stuff on your show, and you were like, yeah, if you pay for the flight, you know, come and have you on. And and the rest kind of went on from there in terms of WFD. And a big thanks, as I said yesterday, to everybody that just kind of gets involved with the show outside of it. You know, I mean, we have people like Gio and whatnot that kind of participate on the Kickabout blog, but also, you know, the people that do email in, that tweet and whatnot, and just kind of, as I say, you know, give us the debate, give us a bit of spark, and keep that side of it going as well. It's always good.
We're wrong. Yeah.
It's always good to chat football with people and to chat sports in general. And it's been an absolute blast, as I say. So yeah, just a big thanks to everybody who's kind of been involved in the show. And of course, as I said yesterday, all the people, you know, Luke Van Patten, Casey Kinn, and James Cranford, and all the guys that were there when I turned up in America kind of a couple of years ago now, and just kind of said, hey, how are we doing? and a big thanks to every single one of the guests as well. I mean, there are so many great ones that genuinely have kind of a created a friendship with over World Football Daily. You know, you talk about Andy Brassel, you talk about kind of people like Rory Smith, Graham Hunter, Jonathan Liu. You talk about, you know, Mike Lahoud, who, you know, I'm gutted I can't be out in Los Angeles, when he was like, yeah man, we should totally hang out next time when I'm in LA. I'm like, ah, I didn't even have the heart to tell him I'm not in the States anymore. But and those kind of guys as well. I mean, even, you know, people like Jeremy Brockie, who we had on, who was playing up in Toronto. I've stayed chatting with him kind of through email and Twitter and whatnot, and he tweeted me immediately after losing 5-1 yesterday, because I said, "Oh man, saw your highlights the other day. You know, it was great because he bagged a goal down for Wellington Phoenix last weekend." And I said, "Oh mate, great finish, you know, lovely to see you back on the score sheet again and stuff." And he just sent me a message. I mean, I'm talking like 15 minutes after final whistle, saying, "Yeah, we just got beat 5-1 by Adelaide, so not feeling too great right about now." I was like, "Ah, oh, dude, that sucks." And what sucked even more was that I was watching that game whilst he was playing. I was like, "Ah, oh, yeah, sorry, buddy. Well, you've won 3 and 5, so, you know, cheer up." So it's every cloud, right, man? So, you know, it's nice to have those kind of little connections and stuff like that. And as I say, always appreciated everything that World Football Daily's kind of given me, and given me the opportunity to kind of do, get this sort of experience. And wouldn't change it for the world, man. A big thanks to you, Raf, as well, for when you said, you know, driving on the freeway outside of Los Angeles, like, "Hey, man, you know, there's any if you want to carry on," kind of thing. "We've been given like 3 months left. If you want to just like come on and do it, go nuts." And yeah, it's been an awesome 18 months, man. We need to finish off talking some football though, Raf. I mean, I don't really know where to start, because we've got probably a little bit of World Cup discussion to talk about. There's Vincent Tan saying that Cardiff fans owe him an apology. I mean, where this guy comes from, I have no idea, but it's from another planet at the moment. We've got the fact that the Europa League draw now is in some parts looking as good as a Champions League draw. When you look at Tottenham, Benfica, Juventus, Fiorentina, Porto, Napoli, Sevilla against Betis, AZ Alkmaar against Anchi, those are some choice ties in the Europa League coming up. And it's an absolute shame that we're getting into the business end of the season. We're not going to be able to talk about it on World Football Daily, especially that Fiorentina-Juventus game. I think could be an absolute scorcher. And expect Fiorentina to kind of come out all guns blazing for that one. I think I know where we should start, though, Raf, this weekend. Like every weekend, of course, almost every weekend, should I say, there is Premier League football. And as a result, we should probably step into the dark, distant world of IKTS. And Raf, what I do enjoy at least about this is that you're having a great season of IKTS. And you won't be able to brag about it come the end of the year to me on the show. It saved my bacon completely after I destroyed you last year. And yeah, I won't have to listen to you telling me how many hundreds of points you got each week, man.
Well, if it means anything, Juice, I've slipped a little bit. I've dipped in form some. I'm no longer sitting, at, you know, perched up top.
Well, that's because you've been following my advice, and you know, it's just terrible.
It's too true in that sense. I don't know why, but. Yeah, listening to you is good listening for like radio and such. But if you're gonna take it to the bookie, man, it's not not the thing to do.
I can talk a good game, but believe me, when it actually comes to playing it, I'm awful, absolutely awful.
Yeah, you sound very convincing, but when it comes down, to, yeah,
bad idea.
It's fine. It's off and on for me. I don't know, you know, why I, you know. Just sometimes it's just a good year. It's luck. It's all luck, man. I mean, it's why we watch the games.
Exactly. So let's kick it off with a little bit of I know the score coming up right about now here on WFD, and start off with the first game of the weekend. Everton taking on West Ham at Goodison Park. Martinez's side in seventh, joint with Manchester United, 5 points though off Europe at this moment in time. A little blip really at the moment for Everton. Three losses in their last six outings. And you know, it's a difficult patch for Martinez. You know, they deserve to get a point out of the Chelsea game, I think, that away at Stamford Bridge, that's for sure. And with Roberto Martinez, this is going to be a big tough test, because he was shouting his mouth quite a bit about being a Champions League side and how Everton can break into the top four in the next year or so, and this could be a year to do it and whatnot. But it's time for Everton to start kind of getting back on track for that then, and really put their money where their mouth is. Big Sam, of course, still has his West Ham side precariously close to slipping back into the drop zone, although four wins in their last four games has been absolutely fantastic to give them a bit of breathing space and starting to claw down Southampton. But with West Ham, I don't think you're confident that they can hold out and carry on, say, a 5-6 game win streak at the moment. And I see it ending this weekend against Everton. I think Everton will be far too strong, even though Jagielka's out with a hamstring injury. And yeah, I'm going with a 2-0 win to kick off the weekend, mate.
Well, I just said I was supposed to not listen to you, but that's exactly what I have. I've already done my score predictions and submitted them. Yeah, and like you've very much so already stated, this is a kind of game that Everton need to kind of prove that they deserve to be in the top half of the table for sure. Top four or five, this is the kind of win that they need for that.
Let's go into the big London derby then. South London, Chelsea against Fulham down by the river. I tell you what, Fulham's Craven Cottage is still the best ground to go to in London. Forget about the Emirates, forget about Wembley and all those places. The cottage on a beautiful kind of summer or late summer or kind of spring afternoon. Down on the river, a little bit of a breeze coming off, but if it's nice and warm, a beer outside Craven Cottage, it's a beautiful thing to do. Although there'll be plenty of beers drunk with Chelsea coming down and the rivalry between these two. There's a lot separating them in the Premier League and, of course, in terms of quality. And I think Chelsea are going to run amok here. A 2-0 win. It won't be goals, 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 but it's going to be convincing, convincing, convincing.
Yeah, see, I don't see absolute convincing win here. I think that because of the midweek kind of distraction and just because it's Fulham away, I can see a very kind of boring 1-0 Mourinho-esque win coming from Chelsea. With Samuel Eto'o getting the goal from, you know, being allowed to play after not really, you know, getting the chance midweek.
Maybe. I think you've got to play Torres, though, surely. I mean, scores a big goal against Galatasaray. He's the striker that's been arguably the most proficient in terms of goal scoring at Chelsea this season. I mean, surely Torres is their number one go-to guy. He links almost as well as Eto'o does with everybody else. So... Yeah. After his midweek performance, he can't drop Torres.
Well, I would love to keep Torres. I have nothing but love for El Nino. I think there's probably some sort of tinker man about Mourinho or some sort of rotation that he's trying to prove here or something. I don't know. Jeez.
Do you like that? They're having the rotation, especially at this time of the season. You know, Chelsea are fighting on a few fronts still, And I suppose rotation is good for keeping the fresh legs in the players and everything, but is it good in terms of keeping, getting that winning feeling, instilling it in a side? Surely you'd rather have, say, a set 11 confident going through a 4-5 game win streak than tinkering about and maybe upsetting the balance every single game.
I think that if you are a professional team like a Chelsea, like a Man City, there is an amount of not tinkering, but just general squad rotation that will kind of come up.
Well, it's needed to do if you're at any point in the season you're fighting on four fronts, especially going into the busy Christmas time, you know, where FA Cup gets involved, the League Cup's in full swing, Champions League is going, and of course the Premier League as well. You know, you are fighting on four fronts, and that's when it obviously is important. But at this stage, though, you know, February, March time. What do you rather see? Would you rather see settling in and getting an 11 sorted for the final run of the season, the last couple of months or so? Or would you rather see kind of the tinker man go about?
I mean, ideally, I would probably like to see my club with my favorite 11 playing on a regular basis winning games. But I don't see that as a real thing, basically, Juice. I see, you know, in all reality, you know, the need and necessity for rotation. And that's why I think that, you know, going with like an Eto'o at this point or for the weekend will kind of, I don't know, maybe keep, it will keep Fernando Torres a little bit fresh. It'll kind of, you can kind of put him under your arm a little bit and say, this is because I would like to have you in the Champions League, Nando. And who knows, he might kind of accept that and be like, well, yeah, that's right. I want the biggest stage. And I do think that Fernando Torres will kind of step up and deliver when they need as the Champions League progresses. We'll see what happens in the next round. But I think that squad rotation when you're at a club like Chelsea, even Manchester United, you know, these teams who are constantly fighting on multiple fronts, it's just necessity. And it's also about kind of keeping all those egos in check. It's about keeping all those legs kind of not even stiff too. You know, it's one thing about being fresh, but it's also about being game ready. Like you said, you want to be able to have that game kind of competition level of play ready to kind of go at any particular point in time. And that's kind of another necessity of rotation at this point in the season.
So you're sticking with a 1-0 win for Chelsea then, is that?
I am, yeah, 1-0 win.
Fair play. Hull Newcastle coming up this weekend, Hull at home, and have been a really difficult side for teams to shake off. Newcastle under Pardew, you never know whether there's pressure around Pardew or not. I mean, eighth place, it seems fine, but those three losses in a row before the win against Villa on the weekend was people starting to kind of, you know, clamber at Pardew and have a go and whatnot. And I always find it really difficult with him this season because, as I say, at the beginning of the year, people were calling for his head. And then, you know, after 10 games or so, he had them back up in and around the top eight. So it's always tough to tell what's going on really on Tyneside with Pardew and whatnot. Newcastle, though, will take on Hull, who are 10 points behind them. And, you know, much like West Ham, starting to pull themselves away from that relegation battle, but still not convincingly far enough away from it. 6 points separates them from Sunderland down in 18th position. But Hull at home, it's a tough test. And they've done reasonably well at home this season. Just four losses for a newly promoted side is not a bad thing to have as a home record. I'm going to give them a draw. I'm giving a 1-1 draw in this one.
You know, I got Hull. Yeah, I was almost going there, Juice. I was almost going there. I am going to put a little bit of faith in Newcastle at this point and hope and pray that they got enough in them to come away with a 2-1 victory. But even then, I was kind of double-guessing, double-checking myself, just assuming that they might have, something, just a stumble in them and that leading, you know, I almost put my banker or my safe, John, is what I'm trying to say, Juice. That's what I'm trying to say.
No, that's not the not the most dangerous prediction that I'll be making this weekend, that's for sure. Stoke City at home against Arsenal. Not the side that they were under Pulis at home, but I think with Arsenal having the week that they've kind of, or 2 weeks that they've had, they'll be obviously thinking about Champions League football still and how they're going to turn things around against Bayern. There are maybe some too many distractions, people getting on their back once again with Ozil. That continues as well. And I think it's a comfortable position that Stoke are in at the moment, is in terms of nobody's really questioning Stoke that much. They're in a shoddy position in terms of their actual league place. But no one's really saying, oh, Stoke look like they could be for the drop. Norwich have been implemented in that. Villa have been implemented in that this year. Obviously, Palace and West Brom, looking in a very dangerous position indeed. And Stoke only 3 points away from it. But I don't think there's any pressure on them yet to start kind of clambering for results. I think that's something quite big for Mark Hughes, in that he's being able to lay low. Arsenal, on the other hand, of course, won last weekend against Sunderland in a convincing 4-1 win. But I think this is where I'm going to start getting a little bit bold this week, Raf. I'm going with a 1-1 at Stoke.
That is bold. Yeah, see, I went with a 2-0 Arsenal win just because I feel like this is one of the games that they should win. And in all fairness, I think they need to win, you know,
it's a title keeping dreams alive kind of game, you know. In all seriousness, you know, if you can't beat these teams on the road, then it's one of those games that will cost you
to Stoke away and get 3 points, mate, then you is nothing. Seriously, but it's true. It's same with Everton at West Ham.
Is that how Wenger sounds?
No, that was, yeah, I don't know who that was necessarily, but you can bet your ass that was deadly, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, spot on. The English accent was spot on.
It was really good. I've been practicing that for a while now.
Yeah, it shows. Southampton take on Liverpool at St Mary's. The Saints comfy and cosy in their mid-table position. Liverpool still looking to keep the title dream alive. This will be tough for them. Any goals you can score, we can score better is their motto at the moment. And the SAS are on the prowl. Sturridge is the second most deadly striker for goals per minute in Europe. Does he do it again? Raf?
You know what? The SAS doesn't have anything on the BBC down in Real Madrid, FYI. Just throwing out. Yeah, if we're going to be naming, little acronyms like that, I'm just throwing out the BBC. Benzema.
Yeah, Bale, Benzema, Bale, and Cristiano. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Just making sure you're on the same page there, Jesus.
It's all right.
Yeah, no. I got this one as a 1-1 draw, and it's only because I have a lot of faith in Southampton. I'm hoping that, you know, being at home at St. Mary's, just the general form that they've been in this season, I would love to see them kind of get this draw. I do have my safety on this one because I don't believe in it that much, but it would be nice to see. I have a 1-1 draw on this one. Good luck to the Saints.
I'm going with a 3-2 win to Liverpool on the road. This is a game, another one.
That would be a very entertaining game, I will say that.
But this is going to be one of those games where people turn around and go, oh, hold on a minute here, we have something going on. You know, people will start saying, these are the games that, if you can, as you say, if you can go to Southampton and concede two and still come away with the 3 points, that shows that you've got the fight and desire to get in the title fight. Liverpool in the title fight, let's all have a fight. Yeah, let's fight. Like that's what it will be. I'm going with a 3-2 win to Liverpool. Villa heading into Sunday take on Norwich, up at Villa Park, a place where they continue to struggle for performances and for points. Lambert needs to sort out this home form, and his counter-attacking style of football that Villa prosper off on the road just doesn't work when they play in Birmingham. I'm going with a 1-1 draw, Norwich, to be able to get a vital point in their relegation fight.
I mean, yeah, you just don't know. Like, who's going to be the worst team at this point, I guess. And like you've said before, it's hard to put any sort of faith in Aston Villa this season. I will give it to him, though. I have a 1-0 Villa win at home. Now I'm second guessing myself because you said, well, they're all right on the road. So, I'm sticking with my 1-0 result. Come on, you villains.
They're a road team, man. They don't do anything at home. Tottenham take on Cardiff down at White Hart Lane. Vincent Tan saying the Cardiff fans owe him an apology, and if he's not careful, he'll walk out of the club, which I think is kind of what everybody wants. But also people will then start thinking, well, where's all that money going? And it's not great to have an eccentric owner, let's say, like Vincent Tan about the place. Tottenham, on the other hand, big win last night in the Europa League, getting through a 3-1 win to put them into the next stage of the tournament against Benfica, which would be an even bigger task for Tim Sherwood. In the meantime, he's also got Louis van Gaal talking about Tottenham want me and am I going to go to Tottenham next year. There's a few distractions going on about the place. Soldado is still not scoring. Adebayor is quality at the moment. I'm going with a Tottenham loss 2-1 against Cardiff.
Really?
Yep.
You were just talking Tottenham up. Okay, fair enough. I got Tottenham coming away with a 2-1 victory. And this is my banker, actually, because it was times three. And, I think that Spurs, you know, having barely squeaked by in Europe last night, and in general kind of being slightly embarrassed last weekend in the Premier League, I'm going to go with a little bit of a bounce back. This should be an easier opponent for them to kind of beat up on and flex some muscle with. I got 2-1. This is my banker for Tottenham.
As all the road signs say while I'm driving across this country, Raf, tiredness kills, and that will be what kills off Tottenham. I don't think it will kill off Swansea, though, against Crystal Palace. Palace on the road, Swansea at home. They, of course, unable to get past Napoli. There was a moment last night when you just thought they could hold on to this. They might end up getting through. It wasn't to be. Napoli striking too reasonably late on to crush the hearts of those Swansea fans that travelled to Naples and I'm sure have enjoyed their Europa League trips around around Europe for sure this season. Taking on Palace, Swansea 2-0 win, clean sheet at home.
Yeah, I think it'll be a little bit more tougher than that. I think it'll be a 1-0 win to Swansea. But still, they'll get the win. And it'll be a slight consolation for dropping out of Europe as it did.
It's, you're wrong, but, you know.
You're wrong, but fine.
We'll finish it there. Those are the IKTS predictions for this week. Let us know your scores by getting in contact at WFootballDaily on Twitter. Show at worldfootballdaily.com as well is where you can catch us. The Premier League giving us some great games this weekend, but not as good as some of the games coming up from around Europe this week. It is, of course, the Madrid derby, Raf, at the Vicente Calderon. Atletico taking on Real, embarrassed in the Copa del Rey. Atletico Madrid disappointed, I'm sure, with how they were knocked out to Real. This, though, is the one that Atletico really want. This stage in the season for Real to take a 6-point lead over Atletico in the title race would surely, with the form that Madrid are in right now, be game over for Diego Simeone's title challenge. Now, no Kadira, of course, played in the Champions League this week, and Sergio Ramos doubtful as well, although probably still will play. Such an influential player, of course, for Real Madrid. How do you see this one going, Raf? Because I don't think that Atletico will have enough to get past the mighty juggernaut that is Real at the moment. They're just too dominant in all forms of play across the pitch.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to see Atletico Madrid get anything from this match. And actually, real quick credit to my team who wears Atletico Madrid colors. We are playing in the final this weekend of our Sunday Rec League. So, I mean, check yourself before you wreck yourself, GC. Just saying. yeah. With that said, I do think that Real Madrid kind of at this point a little too strong, a little too powerful. They're going to come away with probably a nice convincing win, where I see them, you know, quite handily coming away with what, 3-1 maybe, 3-1 win.
3-1. It's interesting. Do you think Diego Costa is going to have been boosted or be slightly away with the fairies after being called up by Vicente Del Bosque for Spain? I mean, great for him that he's getting the call. But do you think that it's going to be maybe a distraction for him going into a huge game like this? Obviously, we've got the internationals coming up next week.
Yeah, no, not so much. I mean, basically because you know, you just have to be on your game. I think all those players have to be on the game. And also, I mean, look, if you're not focused and if you're not kind of constantly playing your best, there's people on the sidelines who would be chomping at the bit to get, you know, that actual cap, basically, you know, get the call up. Was it Fernando Torres and Juan Mata who didn't get the call up for this,
and David, Spanish club? And David Villa as well.
Oof. I mean, seriously. So,
but do you think that's a sign maybe that they're moving on? I mean, Negredo comes in, obviously, and it's only friendlies and whatnot, but Negredo comes in, Pedro in there, and Diego Costa are kind of the three forwards that have been brought in. And obviously, you've got Cesc Fabregas as well, who can play that kind of number 10, fake number 9.
I hate that.
You're not a fan?
I get it. I understand, but I just, it's very kind of, I don't know, highbrow football kind of talk. I mean, let's go read the Blizzard. And don't get me wrong, I love everybody at the Blizzard. I read the Blizzard, okay? I am one of those people who do kind of donate to the Blizzard. And several of our contributors are writers for the Blizzard. But it's like, you know, well, let's go read about, you know, the Polish third division football and why it's, you know, the be all end all of European globalization and you know, trade. I don't know. Somehow you're going
to
tie
what in. What is Polish globalization got to do with this false number nine here?
it's too highbrow. It's too much for me. I mean, just say, I don't know, just give him a different position. Name that position a not so false number nine.
They've stuck a midfield up front.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, you just got to say they've stuck
a
midfield.
How about an attacking midfielder, huh?
Yeah, but it's kind of weird to say that your front line finishes with an attacking midfielder. That sounds weirder to me because that makes it seem like, you know, it's a formation that's not complete. Whereas this formation is good. No, it does. If you know, that's, oh, and
no,
so,
that's fair. I see your point.
So what are you playing? And we're playing a four six. What? 4-4-6. Where's the final line? 4-6. Oh, 4-6-0. Sorry. Yeah. It just doesn't sound complete if you leave it with an attacking midfielder. Just say if you had a go-to formation,
what is your formation?
Oh, easy. Four at the back, one in defensive midfield, two... four at the back, two in midfield, one more as a defensive holding midfielder, the other one as a slightly more deep-line playmaker. Two attacking wide midfielders and one up front.
Sure. So I'm going to go with my... It's actually probably pretty
and
similar.
And a defensive midfield. Sorry, I realised I was one short there for a second.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm talking now. No,
sorry.
I'm going with a 3-4-3. Obviously, a pretty much a flat three back line. In my midfield, I have almost a diamond with my middle kind of defensive holding midfielder staying just in front of the defense, almost as like a first line of defense for them. And then obviously two wing players, and then. A quote unquote attacking midfielder, but more than likely a straight up midfielder, just kind of holding the midfield and being our general there, and then playing with three forwards essentially. One more likely being an attacking midfielder, the other two being, you know, a left and right forward, and almost opening up a dual attack.
Where's your
up
wits?
Top.
Where's your wits come from?
My wingers and my one or two, or my left or right back, who will bomb up and join a part of that
attacking fullbacks. Yeah. You're gonna be left exposed, man. My 4-1-2-2-1 will murder you. I'm afraid
I will always have three at the back, which is more than enough to stomp out any kind of attack, and I feel very confident in that. Nobody else does. Whenever I kind of whenever I throw that out to like my my Sunday or Saturday league teams, like three. What are you joking? And it's like, well, no. It's not always. It's just trust me. I just want to say, I promise you, we're gonna bag in some goals. Okay, it's gonna be fun. We're gonna enjoy this. Just have a little bit of faith.
Taking the Brendan Rodgers approach, score more than your opponent, and you'll be fine. Fair play. but Atletico, sorry, against Real Madrid, we're getting very sidetracked here. A monster game coming up in terms of the title race. What's the best outcome for Barcelona? Would you like Atletico, if you were Barca, to really get themselves and help claw back Madrid in? Would you take a draw so that you can claim 2 points over both these two sides and kind of have Madrid just 1 point away from you but still at the top of the league? And I'm assuming if you're Barca, you don't want Real winning this, because obviously then they go at least 3 points clear if you maintain that. And Barca, of course, this weekend still have to take on Almeria, which shouldn't be too tough a task for Barca, taking on Almeria 15th
that
from the league table.
That would be the first time somebody said that. Juicy,
but
and
at
that,
home
the first time that would
at home in the Camp Nou, though, I think it's a different ball game.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, I think the best kind of result for them would be to have Atletico come away with a win, just because it kind of knocks Real Madrid back a little bit. Yes, it might give a little bit of energy, a little bit of form to Atletico's push for the title, but I think ultimately, they feel easier taking the lead from Atletico than they would a Real Madrid match. It puts a lot of effort on Barcelona to have to make up 3 points. I think is there another Clásico match this season
to come? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I mean, it relieves a little bit of pressure from that kind of El Clasico. And that's why I think that it's probably best for them to see Atletico win. I mean, if they can get a draw, that's great and dandy. And I'm sure they'll take that too. But I don't think they'd be upset with seeing Atletico Madrid come away the win.
The El Clasico coming up in about a month's time at the end of March at the Bernabeu will be a massive game. But this one, I think, for Real, huge. Can they? It will be a big test as well of how much they can fight on two fronts. You know, Atletico didn't play in the Champions League this week. And will have been nicely rested. They'll have been buoyed by the win in the San Siro in a kind of a competent win, although Milan still should have won that game for sure. And I think it'll be interesting. I mean, you talk about your BBC, Raf, of Bale, Benzema and Cristiano. And I think it's going to be really entertaining to see how these three, if they can keep gelling as they have been doing in the last few weeks, big part of their huge run of form, of course, Modric and Alonso. But if those three up front can keep gelling, keep providing goals like they did in midweek and as they have done in previous weeks, this is going to be a very, very entertaining game of football. I'm expecting a plenty of goals in this one. I think Madrid will be too strong. I think Atletico, you're getting to the point of the season now where, you know, they have depth, but not like the depth and quality that Barca and Real have. And I think that's going to be it's going to start to tell in these big games at this time of the season. If you're Simeone, would you want to go for the league title or the Champions League?
You know, I would go with the league title because I feel like that's a little bit closer in reach. And in the back of my mind, I just find that, you know, there's too many bigger heavyweights in the Champions League for my team to kind of deal with at this point. It's been tough enough for them to deal with Real Madrid, Barcelona. For them to actually, you know, beat them in the league would be a massive kind of upheaval, I think, in Spain. Just kind of see somebody else take the title. It would be very, very impressive, you know, around the world in general. But I do think that, you know, maybe kind of going for Champions League is a little far-fetched, a little too out of reach at this point. You know, we've talked about it enough. Both of our top fours don't include Atletico Madrid. You know, You even threw in Dortmund yesterday, and that's a fair shout. I mean, like when you really look at their current form in Europe, it's hard to discount them. But again, that just kind of it knocks Atletico Madrid down the perch a little bit more. It just makes it really difficult for me to see them kind of getting there and reaching the top, beating various giants along the way.
It's very true. Very true, that one, Ref. I just think a Champions League run, though, might be... I think it's more feasible because fewer games in the Champions League left now. If they can put more energy into Champions League football than the league...
Well,
I think
and
they've
not
got
to
a better
talk
chance
myself
of...
out of it as well, but I, you know, you can also make the argument, well, they did get the Europa League title. I mean, this is something that they can, you know...
They know how to win in Europe.
Proven.
Yeah, and I just wonder if that may come into it. I doubt Simeone will risk kind of dropping on either just to miss out on potentially one of those trophies. But it'd be interesting to see. I think the next few weeks are very important for Atletico Madrid in their title run in La Liga. And then if that wasn't enough as well, Germany brings us Bayern Munich against Schalke. Schalke, who were just used and abused and spat out again, taking on a Munich side that are unstoppable in the German league. Still no losses this season. Still just two draws this season in league play. And the juggernaut is on its way. Although Barca talking about bringing in Thomas Müller, apparently, according to some of the Spanish press, which would be a crazy swoop if they pulled that off this summer. But Bayern Schalke games, always great for entertainment and always great for seeing the stands as well. And Schalke will, you know, a point puts them level with Dortmund in third place and just keeps Wolfsburg at bay, because it's unlikely that these sides are going to get anything from playing Munich. So anything you can get against Munich at the moment is probably a plus over the rest of your opponents as the season goes on. And Schalke as well will want to bounce back with an impressive display after being miserable in midweek against Madrid. Bayern, of course, just looking to keep breaking records in the Bundesliga for unbeaten games, unbeaten. it just will continue.
It's shocking to think of how long that's going to go. But yeah, good times.
Could be there a long time. And then in Italy as well. I mean, what a weekend of football. AC Milan take on Juventus, Fiorentina take on Lazio, Milan, Juve, maybe not the title decider that it used to be. And of course, we've got Roma, Inter as well. One of the greatest games of football I ever went to was Inter against Roma, a 3-3 draw at the San Siro. And unfortunately, we are pretty much running out of time here on World Football Daily. So what we'll do is we will run through the games that are coming up this weekend in Europe. We've already been through the Premier League. So tomorrow in Serie A, Inter against Roma at the Stadio Olimpico. Sunday sees Cagliari against Udinese. Verona take on Bologna. Genoa take on Catania. Atalanta against Chievo. Torino against Sampdoria. Sassuolo against Parma. Livorno against Napoli. AC Milan against Juventus. And Fiorentina against Lazio. Moving into La Liga before we even get to the big Madrid derby coming up on Sunday. We've got Bilbao against Granada on Friday night tonight. Malaga take on Valladolid tomorrow, along with Levante against Osasuna. Getafe against Espanyol and Elche against Celta Vigo. Villarreal on Sunday meet Real Betis. Atletico Madrid meet Real Madrid. Sevilla take on Sociedad. Rayo Vallecano take on Valencia. And then Barcelona take on Almeria. In the Bundesliga tonight, Hertha Berlin meet Freiburg. With Dortmund taking on Nuremberg on Saturday, along with Leverkusen against Mainz, Bremen against Hamburg, Augsburg against Hanover, Braunschweig take on Gladbach, and Bayern Schalke wrapping up Saturday afternoon with Hoffenheim, Wolfsburg, and Eintracht Frankfurt against Stuttgart coming up on Sunday. And in France, Evian take on Nantes this evening, while Saint-Étienne take on Monaco. Big game for Monaco. They need to keep picking up points, and they have not been that impressive since losing Falcao. They have been able to grind out the victories. Rennes take on Guingamp. Reims take on Valenciennes. Nice take on Toulouse. Sochaux take on Bordeaux. Lorient take on Bastia. And then Sunday, Ajaccio meet Lille. Lyon meet Montpellier. And PSG against Marseille. There are big games all over Europe except for England. And of course, we have the League Cup final as well. Raf, to finish it off, are Sunderland going to be able to pull one over against Manchester City, or a City going to get their hands on the title?
Yeah, I think City will get their hands on the title. As plucky as Sunderland and their story, maybe I just feel like this is one piece of silverware that Pellegrini and his men I think probably have in the bag and need to just to kind of give back their fans something, they'll nab this, and they'll need to go after the Premier League title race.
People will raise question marks as well about losing to Barca the way they did, and then if they don't beat Sunderland as well. Although Sunderland looking to avoid the kind of the cup curse of that seems to follow League Cup winners. Laudrup losing his job this season, Birmingham getting relegated after winning it. There's not a great deal of positivity comes out just after you win the League Cup. So maybe Sunderland might be throwing in the towel on this one and kind of kicking it back and taking a mauling from Manchester City. I think City will do it though, mate. It's too strong. Far too strong indeed. That is where we will leave it for today on World Football Daily. A massive thank you from myself. On our indefinite hiatus we go. The World Cup coming. It's going to be a Argentina against Germany final with Argentina winning it. That is the prediction for the World Cup. And for the Champions League, it's going to be Real Madrid. La Decima will come true this year for Ancelotti. Raf, I will leave it to you to say the goodbyes and see us off, mate.
Why would you do this? I'm not one. did you ever listen to any of the shows that I did when you weren't here and saying goodbye? It was the most awkward things in general, but
starting it well as well. Said,
yeah, I know. We're starting off very, very well. I just can't thank you guys enough. You guys don't even know how much you've given back to me, how much the show has given back to me, and how much the show has meant to me as a man. In so many ways, just can't even tell you. So I am very, very appreciative to all those people who've been a part of this community. I can't believe I forgot to mention some of the interns that have kind of come through here. Armin, Mark Henty, obviously two very good friends of mine, because they were hardly ever interns, Casey Kiernan and James Cranford. You know, I definitely wasn't the best boss when I was working with you guys, but I felt like we became very good friends, and I appreciate the friendship that you guys did kind of offer, and the general, you know, attitude that you brought towards quote unquote work every day. And some of the things that we got to do kind of as friends was just absolutely fantastic. You know, Kenny Hassan, who really, you know, took me under my wing as I came here, not just because I was a Rangers fan, but just because we had so much in common, both losing our fathers. You know, there were many a drunken kind of nights that we shared, or afternoons and odd mornings, Ranger old firm matches and stuff like that. Just some fantastic stories from World Football Daily. I wish I could share them with you all. Oliver, again, I cannot thank you enough, sir. It has been an absolute pleasure. And I truly respect the work that you do. And to everybody else who is still kind of, you know, out there and a part of life, we're not dying or anything like that. We're just kind of potentially moving on. Just finding other ways to express ourselves in this great, fantastical world of football. So keep in touch. Obviously, I'm at Gersrafa, GERSRAFA. You can find Oliver at Juice_Wilson on the Twitter. We both have Facebook accounts. Feel free to, you know, give us all the help there if you want. And you'll see stuff from, I think, worldfootballdaily.com. Every now and then. I'm not sure if there's going to be any more shows or podcasts going on, but I think, you know, Gio and Mark will definitely be writing blogs. If I get any free stuff, I'll definitely write stuff about it, and I'll be making some YouTube videos and things like that. But again, yes, thank you to all. We really appreciate it, and see you guys on the flip side.